I just wanted to point out that there are dip pens and ink, and this is a cuneiform tablet made with clay that I did in a workshop in the 1980s, just to see what was done. The Sumerians, this is a piece of papyrus with some hieroglyphics from the same workshop. And these are Indus Valley seals that actually were just sold in the gift shop in Pasadena at the Pacific Asia Arts Museum when the Indus Valley exhibition. It was a very small exhibit. They've never translated this language, what they wrote on their various seals. And they just sold them at the gift store. They weren't very expensive even, but they're really interesting to me because prior to even the Egyptians, the Indus Valley had an extremely sophisticated culture with amazing infrastructure and all kinds of things that we would think of as more modern things, indoor plumbing, all kinds of things, city-states that were designed on the basic city. So they're a pretty amazing place. These are images from Egyptian culture, and these are the implements for writing. So, and all of these I use to this day, everything from a quill to metal pens, and these are fountain pens. And then behind me, I had said before that there are some quotations. Some of them I'll be reading, and that's another inscription that I'll be mentioning. I shouldn't take so much time, though. And over here, I'm going to be explaining to you is a book that I made for our congregation to write on, and I'll explain more about that as I go too. And there are some writing supplies there. So, I'm here to talk about the written word, actual writing or carving letter forms on surfaces like paper or stone, its history, spirit, and beauty. I'll touch on writing as text and literacy and how we use that, but not as much, but some, because they're very important, both of them. Writing is something that so many of us do so casually that it's hard to imagine that there's anything to talk about or that we would want to know more about it. I'd like to illustrate how the written word and writing are many things, but foremost for me, while it's a practical tool, it's an art form that functions as a political act, and at the same time, it can also be a spiritual practice, which I'll clarify as I go too, because we all discuss what spiritual means pretty regularly here. But as many of you know, there's a dramatic transition happening in every school around us. Children aren't writing. They're typing and swiping. So are adults. They barely notice how seldom they actually write with a pen or pencil. This transition gives us an opportunity to take a closer look at what writing is, how it became what it is for us, and what we might retain in writing, even enhance as other methods of communication replace past applications of writing in our lives. As I imagine the array of feelings about writing, I might point out something it has in common with music and dance. I think I mentioned this to you the other day, too. Some people might say that they hate singing. Some people say they hate dancing, and some say they hate writing, seeing script handwriting as a form of torture. You might find that those same people find them singing in their showers or cars, and others dancing with their grandchildren or vacuum cleaners, and others doodling almost any time they're stuck on hold with a pen and paper nearby. These arts have things in common that come naturally, These arts all seem to come naturally, and our culture seems to have drifted away from the life-giving qualities of each. I think about it as, well, yes, there's dancing and there's music, but most of the time we're watching other people do it. It's not us every day doing these things. So what is writing, and where did it come from? When did we start to use writing or even make meaningful marks? Simply put, writing is making meaningful marks for communication. As far back as 32,000 years ago, beautiful marks were made in caves in Chauvet, and in Lascaux, France. I wish those were in color because they're even more beautiful in color. The earliest known writing called proto-writing was pictographic, pictures or images representing what we see around us. Important things, animals, plants, people, weather events like lightning or astronomical events like eclipses. Though much more recent, even our native Chumash caves in Santa Barbara have pictographs that were used as a calendar for recording comets. Communication with marks began long before we actually made marks to represent languages. Cuneiform, the earliest writing, began in Sumeria, which that tablet is about, or today's southern Iraq, about 3,000 years ago, or in 3,000 BC. Clay tablets were used as a surface for writing, which was incised in damp clay with reeds cut at the tip into a wedge shape. Simultaneously in Egypt, they developed a pictographic writing, which we call hieroglyphics. Both forms of writing were in use for thousands of years. Most of us are familiar with the hieroglyphics and the surface they wrote on papyrus. The first alphabetic writing we know about appeared around 1400 in Ugarit on the coast of northern Syria, which now is a pretty war-torn area in the Middle East. And we all know something about at least what's happening to some of their ancient artifacts, which is a tragedy. They used cuneiform to represent sounds in their spoken language, which made it a true alphabet with consonants and vowels. The writing died out in about 200 years, but 200 years later, adapting that, the Phoenicians developed a simpler alphabet, and it spread throughout the Phoenician Empire, throughout the entire Mediterranean coastal state. So that would be, I hardly knew where all these places were. The Phoenician Empire sort of circled the Mediterranean. And then we were sort of off to the races. When the Greeks traded with the Phoenicians, they adopted their writing and began adding vowels, creating their own alphabet of 24 letters, getting very close to what we use today of 26 letters, about 25 here. And now, some 2,500 years later. The Romans took it further and created letter forms that you would hardly find different from what you type on your computer screen. Those at the top right there are carved in stone on the Trajan Column in Rome, and next to it is just a printed version of what they look like. That's what they looked like over 2,000 years ago. So they're really pretty much the same. And it commemorates a campaign in 113 AD, and most of the people who work with letter forms think of it as the pinnacle of beauty in the form of our capital letters. I wasn't sure how much detail to include, but as so much of what happened during the Roman Empire is still remarkably relevant today. During this and prior periods, much of what was written was stored in the form of scrolls. There were no books or sheets bound between covers, like we have there, which actually will fold up into a book. Rolls of papyrus sheets were attached to wooden rods with knobs at each end. A roll could be fairly short or 30 to 40 feet long. To read, one would turn knobs at the ends of with rods at the end from left to right. There would be a title page at the beginning and end, and a tag that hung from each rod so the scrolls could be identified when stacked on shelves or put in book boxes. The text was a continuous stream of letters and columns that read from left to right, like our text, but no space between words, sentences, or paragraphs. Letters and notes were traveling constantly within the city of Rome and from one end of the empire to the other, mostly written and delivered by slaves. And since most educated Romans used slaves to write and copy their letters and books, there was literacy among their slaves. That doesn't mean that literacy was pervasive, but almost everyone knew how to make some kind of marks. What's amazing is that the Romans had all they needed to invent a printing press, but as Tom Standage, in a book that I have here that you can look at, points out in his book called The Writing in the Walls, even Cicero, a prominent Roman politician and lawyer, mentions the idea of creating type. But Standage comments further that slavery made the labor of copyists cheap, and Romans had no incentive to invent a printing press. Just the same, heavy dependence on literate slave labor, the Roman Empire flourished and grew to cover most of the European continent. The other very common use of writing for more average Romans was something that's also very popular today, graffiti. Everywhere, all handwritten, and some of it very large. Most Roman homes faced a courtyard, and outside were left blank, flat walls facing the street, as Standage calls those, huge public message boards. We wouldn't know much about that, but when Mount Vesuvius erupted in 79 AD, it left Pompeii and Herculaneum buried in ash and preserved the plaster walls of these Roman towns. The Getty Villa in Malibu was designed to replicate one of those villas. We don't get to write on those walls, but maybe someday they'll figure out a way to do that. I'd like it, actually. It appears, based on thousands of instances of graffiti preserved in these towns, that this was common elsewhere in the Roman world. Outdoor writing included everything from large political slogans and endorsements to gladiator advertisements. Apparently, it wasn't regarded as defacement, and I think this is my favorite part. People commonly wrote on their own walls in their homes and their friends' homes. It is definitely my favorite part. Apparently, the graffiti in public lavatories was just as colorful and bawdy then, but you'll have to read Standage's book for those examples. From there, the written word takes a turn that's influenced life to this day. A social media system that facilitated the growth of one of the Western world's dominant political and religious forces. Written documents were an essential part of the growth of early Christianity, which was not the case with any other religion of Greek or Roman times. Christians relied heavily on written documents for preaching, teaching, debating, and letters. Most of the Christian Bible is made up of correspondence. Of the 27 works in the New Testament, 21 are letters, and they were handwritten. Most famous, the Epistle of Paul, the leader of the early church. The letters traveled throughout the entire Mediterranean region from church to church. During the next 500 years, the Roman Empire was collapsing and literacy and learning were declining. But meanwhile, the Christian church grew and literacy grew with it. The church became the official religion of the Roman Empire by the 4th century and needed to replace papyrus, which was no longer available from the Middle East, and they began to use animal skins, which actually I brought a piece. I didn't bring one bigger, and I'm sorry I didn't write on one, just so you could see what it looks like. They began to write on animal skins like calf, goat, and sheep called parchment. These books called manuscripts, as in manual, hand, and script, were writing and painted in the were handwritten and became repositories of some of the most beautiful writing and painted imagery in Western art. I'm sorry I didn't bring more things that were a little bit later than the early ancient Romans, but anyway, these beautiful writing and painted imagery in books is also something you can see only at the Getty Center, which has exhibitions of their outstanding manuscript collection on a regular basis. So you can picture, I don't know what people picture, but anyway, illuminated manuscripts are quite beautiful, and there's a really incredible collection there. Among Romans, the books had existed in small portable notebook form, but it became the primary format for all texts in Christianity. In their texts, they introduced punctuation, paragraphs, spaces between words, and large letters at the beginnings of paragraphs. The book format and legibility became a legacy of Christianity. It would be almost 1,000 years before a crucial change made writing and literacy available to more people and more like what we use today. Paper was invented in China and introduced in Europe in the 12th century by Arabs. The use of paper for books was promoted by the early universities in Europe, where they were still painstakingly handwritten until a definitive change for writing happened. In secret, Johannes Gutenberg invented movable type, a printing press and oil-based ink needed to print his type for the first systematic reproduction of long texts. The Huntington Library in Pasadena has a copy of the Gutenberg Bible, which you can go to see too. The written word has now been transformed into a medium of communication that has been unequaled in its reach for about 550 years. And obviously things are changing dramatically and rapidly now. The written word continued to be essential for much of daily life and education, but the printed word would be unmatched, but better equalizing access to learning as well as power. The establishment of libraries and schools followed in time, along with the concept of democracy. The book is to this day the most stable archiving medium. Think about it. What tape or disc or drive or any other format you use is easily readable after a few years? And a friend of mine who worked as an archivist in a university in North Carolina was the person who said that to me. It was his job to actually archive things, and he was at a complete loss to try and find ways to make this work. Anyway, it can't be underestimated how literacy has supported the effort worldwide to improve lives. The fight for literacy among slaves in the United States leading up to emancipation was essential. Women continue to be deprived of access to education and literacy, which we already know would help them to plan childbearing and rearing. One of our UU members told me several months ago that at a home for women and their children where she works, the average reading level of the women is third grade. One has to wonder why this still happens. Here we return to the shift from the written word, manuscripts, and printed books to digital media. Can we retain something enriching that they offer to us? Asian writing is revered in Japan as the do, a way, or the Tao, a discipline or refinement that develops personal character, culture, cultural poise, grace, elegance, balance, control, like kado, which is ikebana, their flower arranging, aikido, judo, yaido, those are three martial arts. Shodo is the way of beautiful writing in Japanese that clarifies a spiritual dimension, a self-awareness discipline, writing as a contemplative art, a spiritual practice. I can't help wondering whether there's potential for this and other arts to be antidotes to technologies that hijack our minds. Tristan Harris, who's been called the closest thing to Silicon Valley's conscience, was previously a design ethicist at Google and left the company to lead a nonprofit movement called Time Well Spent to align technology with our humanity. I don't think he's entertaining any return to handwriting versus digital media, but I can't help thinking that his goal to create a world that helps us to spend our time well will include practices that encourage us to take our time, not theirs, to pay attention to what we do, as in do, the Japanese way. Tristan Harris researches what persuades our minds by looking closely at everything from sleight-of-hand magic to linguistics, persuasive technologies, cult psychology, and behavioral economics, especially as it relates to moral responsibility. I actually created a book list, and if people want copies of it, books and some references to this particular person. All those things seem to ring a bell for me as I look at the values of Unitarian Universalism. I admire the long history of Beacon Press and their promotion of perhaps undervalued important voices. I was reading their books long before I was ever aware of the UU community. So I ask you to take the written word and its profound impact on our history and current events and consider what it feels like to take the alphabet, letter forms, your words, and commit them to paper for any purpose at all, a grocery list, post-its, a poem, a poster for the Women's March, writing a journal or your dreams, or for a simple beauty of the form of one letter. During this pause for music, that was coming next, I hope I'm not too far over, I invite you to come up and write marks in a simple, large book that I've made and mounted on the wall, a bit like the Roman homes in the first century, and find the intersection of play, contemplation, and taking your time. So there's chalk, markers, there's a piece of charcoal, there are pencils. You can make big marks, small marks, something you think, or even think of it the way you would drop a stone in the water. Then thank you.